Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my co-host, partner in crime, and my best buddy, Trent Mast. How are you? How's your week been? How are you feeling? We'll talk about it later in the show, but you guys finally got that dub again. I mean, this is your second one this year, but it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, well, I'm doing good. It's been a longish week.
I mean,
we've only had classes for 3 days, but it just feels like those 3 days have dragged out longer than a normal 5-day week has, but been good. Soccer's been good. Obviously, we had a win on Wednesday, as you already said, so that's looking up in the right direction.
Yeah, very, very. I know we were talking before we went on the air, and you guys have a tough one this weekend tomorrow, but we'll discuss more of that once we roll onto the men's soccer subject. But looking at sports outside of Bluffton, Major League Baseball is still going strong. The championship series in both the National League and the American League start tonight. Well, tonight is the start of the National League Championship Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers. That game will start at 8:09 tonight. It will be played in Milwaukee. Pitching for both teams will be Clayton Kershaw for the Los Angeles Dodgers and Gio Gonzalez for the Milwaukee Brewers. Game 2 of that National League Championship Series will be tomorrow at 4:09 on Saturday. Tonight's game will be on Fox Sports 1. Tomorrow it will be on Fox. But game 1 of the American League Championship Series, and what I think is going to be, I mean, both of these series are going to be very interesting to watch, but Houston's coming off that sweep over the Indians on Friday. Monday. And I got my days all messed up. Like you said, fall break we had. We had only 3 days of classes, so Wednesday felt like Monday. Yesterday felt like Wednesday. It's been a jumble mess. But the Astros, Houston, will be in Boston to take on the Red Sox. And I really think that this is going to be a really great series. We got Justin Verlander pitching for Houston and Chris Sale pitching for Boston tomorrow. I'm really excited to see how this series plays out. Now, NFL-wise, I mean, looking at the schedule, there's not a lot of interesting games, really, I think. I mean, for me, the biggest game I'm going to be paying attention to will be the Steelers and Bengals game. The Bengals sitting atop the AFC North, and Pittsburgh finally getting back on the winning ways, beating the Atlanta Falcons last week. They're now, 2-2-1, so they're tied with Cleveland again. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. Another one that I'm going to keep an eye on will be the Sunday night game, Kansas City at New England. I want to see how Patrick Mahomes takes on that New England defense in Foxborough. That's going to be an interesting game to watch for sure. Honestly, I think the Monday night game is going to be a blowout because San Francisco will be in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. And I don't think the 49ers are... It's going to be ugly. I think Green Bay all the way. And, I don't think it's going to be worthwhile to watch, honestly. So I'm sorry to any of the 49er fans out there, especially my dad. Apologize, but I think the 49ers are going to get decimated by Aaron Rodgers and the rest of that Green Bay team. Jumping back to tomorrow on Saturday for NCAA, the biggest game that I'm going to be paying attention to will be the Saturday night game between Michigan and Wisconsin. That's going to be a big game there in the Big Ten. That will be on ABC, start at 7:30. Number 15, Wisconsin, going into number 12, Michigan, at Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor. I think that will be one of the games to watch, really, tomorrow night. We have Michigan State at Penn State. That's a 3:30 start on the Big Ten Network. And I do believe Ohio State is at home on Fox Sports 1 against Minnesota. And I think that's just going to be a blowout. Ohio State, they kind of struggled last week against Indiana. They didn't really have a good footing there in that first half. And then once they came back out of halftime, they had a better showing there in the second half. Dwayne Haskins really put up some good numbers. 6 passing touchdowns, 3 passing yards away from tying the record. So I think the Buckeyes will roll on and beat Minnesota and stay undefeated on the season. But really, though, I think the NBA season starts next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday, I should say, October 16th. Will be the first game of the season, and I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm excited to get all these sports going. It's going to be a very interesting season. But that's enough of pro and college sports that's not related to Bluffton. Trent and I will be back here shortly to discuss where everybody will be competing this week. The one team not competing this week is the men's golf team, but we'll discuss that after this break. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam. In this second segment, Trent and I will discuss where our men's and women's cross country team will be running, where our women's golf team will be competing, and we will discuss the women's soccer game on Wednesday and also their game this weekend. So for the women's cross country, and I know it's kind of been like a dead horse the last three episodes now, going on four, but they had last weekend off. The cross country's season's broken into 2 weeks, so like they'll have a meet 1 week, off the next, meet the next. So this weekend, both the men's and women's cross country team will be at the Inter-Regional Rumble at Oberlin. The women's team will race at 10:30 a.m. and the men will follow at 11:15 a.m. But this week, in tonight's episode, we do have interviews with all of the coaches. Here is my interview with Coach Yonko from earlier today.
So, your first year of cross country as a director is almost done. How has the year been for you?
Started out slow. We had slow improvements, slow PRs, and after the last meet that we had at All Ohio, our team is looking fantastic. It's been a good year so far. We have a meet tomorrow at Oberlin, and we expect big things, big PRs. I think as a men's and women's team, we're going to place really well in our conference.
So speaking of that meet, like you mentioned, you guys are racing at Oberlin at the Inter-Regional Rumble. What can we expect from both the guys and the girls competing tomorrow?
Well, what we expect is for the athletes to do the best of their ability. And right now we're going to have a really cold meet, which is fantastic for their systems to run in. With that, we expect, because it is a really, really fast course, some big PRs, maybe some lifetime bests, and some overall good team finishes. It's going to be a good meet.
All right. So there's 2 weeks until the HCAC Championships. What are some ways you, Coach Shadewald, and Coach Redmond will get this team ready for their A game for that meet?
So for the conference championship, it's all about improving the times as much as it is remembering what it felt like to race at Shelbyville and putting a little bit of strategy in there. We have a really, really good team, and it's going to make and break the difference if they can work together like they have been so far, and if they're going to lay it on the line for each other and do it for the team. That's going to make and break the difference for how well we do at conference.
So moving on from cross country, we will dive into women's golf. Women's golf, their season is wrapping up, and this is the last weekend of their fall season as they will be competing in the HGAC Championships at Liberty Country Club. Now, they competed there 2 weekends ago, and they placed 10th after the tournament. And honestly, that's a good placing to really see where they would be on that course. So 2 weekends ago, they were at that same golf course for the HGAC preview. So now, since they have the experience at that golf course, hopefully this weekend will be a better showing for the women's golf team. The men do have this weekend off, with the women competing this weekend. The men will be back in action at the HCAC preview next weekend, October 20th and the 21st, when they will be at the Anderson Country Club. Now, earlier today, I did have the chance to sit down with the head golf coach, Adam Craig, and here is what he had to say on the women's meet this weekend and then the men next weekend.
The fall season is coming to an end this weekend for the girls team and next weekend for the guys. How has this fall season treated Bluffton Golf?
Fall season has been really well. I think I talked to a couple of the freshman girls yesterday, and they've taken a lot out of the fall. I mean, it's an adjustment process from high school to college. So they've gotten that experience. They're ready to go this weekend. Last weekend was their first weekend off of the fall, so they're kind of refreshed and ready to go. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the results on a course they've actually seen mm-hmm. in a previous tournament this year. So I'm excited about that. The guys, once again, a learning experience. They've been up and down. We set the best team score record since the return of the program last weekend, which I was proud of, and then kind of let it slip away the second 18. So, you know, we're looking to build on that in a preview for a conference next weekend.
So speaking of both of those meets, the women's team will be back in action at the same course they were 2 weeks ago. What are some key things to see for this girls' team already having that experience, like you said, on the same course?
Well, the pins are going to be in very similar spots. So everything we took away, where we were at around the greens, how to play chip shots, definitely wasn't a learning experience a couple weeks ago. We came back and we practiced, you know, it's a pretty hilly course, so we mm-hmm. practiced uphill chips, downhill chips. And I think it's mainly around those greens because they're tough. And getting the ball on the green and giving us a chance to get a good score.
Okay. And then with the men, they will wrap up fall season next week, like you said, with the preview at Anderson Country Club. Again, what would be some key things to look out for the men's team next week?
I think just, you know, we're doing a lot of qualifying this next week and a half, and I'm putting a little more pressure on them. I think that's what they need to take it to the next level. And this is a good tournament. You know, we don't play a whole lot of practice rounds. So when we have a preview for especially our conference championship, we're going to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, it's not about how we finish in this tournament. It's more about preparation, getting to know the golf course, where to miss, where not to miss for the conference championship in the spring.
So last but not least in this segment, we will discuss the women's soccer team. But first, here is my interview with the head coach, Kevin Gregory.
You're close to wrapping up your first year as the Bluffton's head women's soccer coach. Overall, how has the year been?
It's been very enjoyable. We got an awesome group, and I think we've really meshed well, the whole group and me and Cheryl, and I think it's been a fun year.
So your past three games, other than the first half of the Franklin game last Saturday, were pretty close. What are some of the takeaways you have seen in these games, even though the outcome wasn't in your favor?
I think we're learning to be more consistently competitive. It's just, I think we're learning what it takes to compete at the collegiate level, and we finally got the whole group kind of with the same mindset of how to compete in mm-hmm. soccer games. So,
okay. So the team has a tough one tomorrow against the top dog in the conference, Hanover. What would be some key things the team would need to do to upset the Panthers on their home turf?
We need to do more right things than wrong things. So we okay. need to keep possession more. We need to shift defensively correctly every time. And I think if we do all the little things right, we will make the game a little difficult for Hanover.
Thank you, Coach, for the time and letting me interview you on this busy Friday as you guys prepare for your guys' competitions this weekend. As we'll get more on into the show, we'll have more interviews. But again, like I like to thank the time that these coaches are letting me come in and talk to them for a little bit to discuss what's been going on during their season and what they're going to do this coming weekend. So, yeah, anyways, the women's soccer team was away on Wednesday as they went to Earlham. The boys were at home hosting Earlham. The women, unfortunately, lost in overtime 2-1 in what was a really tight-knit game. I mean, Earlham had the edge, and I was looking at the stats during the game while I was watching Trent and the boys play, and Earlham scored literally with 30 seconds left in that first half. Yeah, Hannah Wallhauser scored with at the 44-31 minute mark. Yeah. So
jeez, 29,
29 seconds left half. To go in the first half. She puts one in the back of the net, and wow, That must have been like an are you kidding me moment with only that much time left to go in that first half. But the Earlham College Quakers found the back of the net with 2:18 to play in overtime for a 2-1 victory over the visiting Bluffton University on Wednesday, October 10th. Bluffton fell to 1-10-1 overall and 0-4 in the HCAC, while Earlham improved to 7-6 and 1-3 in the conference. The Beavers erased a 1-0 Quaker lead at the 66-07 mark when freshman Julia Gibson knocked in the equalizer. The 1-1 score held until just over 7 minutes into the extra session, when Yana Miller gave Earlham the 2-1 victory with her 5th goal of the season. Earlham finished with a marked 20-6 edge in shots, including 12-3 on frame. The home team forced the action with 6 of the 7 corners in the match. Senior Skylar Liming led the Beavers with 5 shots. Sophomore Sienna Sullivan kept the Beavers in the match with 10 saves. So, yes, this is a tough loss, but I mean, they're still, like, I don't know what the words I'm looking for. Like, they're still competing. They're not giving up and during the games. Yes, that would have killed my morale having that Hannah Wallhauser put one in the back of the net with just so little time left in that first half.
Yeah, that can like definitely like change your whole mindset just going into halftime.
Oh, no doubt.
29 seconds left in the half, you give up a goal. I mean, it doesn't look like the team got down on themselves.
No, not at all.
They held that whole second half without giving up a goal, and they got one. I mean, they only had 6 shots in the whole match, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter how many shots you put in. If you put one in and it's a tie game at the end of regulation, like it was, 6 shots is 6 shots. I mean, they had 20 in the whole match. I don't know how many they had in overtime, but
right,
shots don't matter unless they're going into the back of the net. And I mean, 1-1 after regulation, it looks like who they play, Earlham. Wow, I should have known that. It looks like Earlham had a lot more offense, but that just means that our defense was holding them, which is something every coach wants to see. I mean, if you don't have defense, then a good offense isn't gonna work. And I mean, our offense is picking up. They've scored, I know, the last couple games they've scored.
Yeah, I mean, they put one in the back of the net, courtesy of Julia Gibson on Wednesday. They had 2 goals on Saturday when they played Franklin.
That was also both, I believe, were Julia as well.
Yeah, both were from Gibson. So the last 2 games, the 3 goals that have been scored were by Gibson, and that's really impressive for a freshman. Those are her first 3 collegiate goals in her career, and I know there's going to be a heck of a lot more where that came from.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it helps getting back on the board because there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games where they were held scoreless. Now, one of those games was a 0-0 tie against Heidelberg a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that game is okay to go scoreless because they also held the other team and they played really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking at who they have next, they will be at Hanover tomorrow. That will be a 1:00 kickoff. And then their next 2 games will be at home next Wednesday, October 17th. Will be a home game, and that, it'll be their second. So their next 2 home games will be their last 2 home games of the season. Next Wednesday, October 17th, like I mentioned, they will be home against Mount St. Joseph. That will start at 3 instead of the original 3:30 like we're accustomed to. And then on Saturday, next Saturday, October 20th, Senior Day, they will be home against Transylvania, and the women will start at 1:00. So, yeah, it's going to I'm really looking forward to these next 2 home games next week just to finally go out and actually watch a full game. I was out at the Defiance game, and I think I was there for the majority of it, but they unfortunately dropped that one. So hopefully they can bounce back here within the next couple of games and pick up that victory at home they're so desperately wanting to get. So Trent and I will be right back here with the Beaver Dam as we still have more to discuss. Up next, we got men's soccer, volleyball, and football. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mass, and this is our last segment of the evening. We'll start with men's soccer. So, as I mentioned during the second segment, and when we were talking to Trent to start the show as well, the men's soccer team had a home game on Wednesday, and I was there for most of it. I unfortunately missed what was probably a very good ending. I'm very bummed at myself, but I was trying to be a good student, get the dinner, eat that, and work on homework. But the men's team finally got that win in the conference, their second win of the year, and to me, I mean, it really looked like you guys played well.
Yeah, we worked a lot of, like, swinging the ball, possessing the ball. I mean, we haven't done that a lot this year.
Right.
And, I mean, it's something that we needed to work on, needed to do. And so we just worked on that all week. We had fall break, so we just,
yeah,
during our practices there. And we worked a little bit more on our communication, and I think it definitely paid off.
Right.
I mean, we went down 1-0 in the first half, and then we bounced back, and we got a penalty, PK somewhere in the first half, 25 minutes in.
Yep, Dalton knocked it in.
25 minutes in. Dalton, he's so confident when he takes those. I mean, we practice him at practice, does the same thing every,
mm-hmm.
not the same, his run-up's the same, but he'll switch up where he kicks it. You can just see, like, his confidence every time he takes one.
Yeah.
So he put that away, and it was 1-1 going into halftime, and we really, I mean, we are pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, we hadn't won a game, 11 straight losses. I mean, everyone's morale kind of seems like it would be down after that, but we just went into that game on Wednesday, like, pumped, ready to go,
mm-hmm.
which is something I don't think we've really seen a lot of this year.
Right.
I mean, we're a young team. We saw it our first game, and then once we just started losing and losing and losing, it seemed like everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the same old, and then we just...
Yeah.
Something clicked, and
well, hopefully that just that mentality with you keeps, in the team, stays there. Like, I wouldn't want to be on the team like what going in knowing that. Like, if you guys go into every game like this is a new day, we're gonna go in, no matter the outcome, we're gonna ball out until all the zeros are on the clock. And I mean, you guys did on Wednesday, and you guys came out with the victory. 2-1 in overtime, which I think is really ironic. You both Bluffton soccer teams went to overtime, and the final score was 2-1. You guys were on the upper hand of that. Unfortunately, the women's team was not on that. But I mean, it's great to see you guys come out and with all the hard work you guys have been doing. Yes, like you said, 11 straight losses, but I mean, it looked like it paid off.
Yeah.
Like, coming together as a team, talking, and really what you guys have been doing in practice has really showed. I don't know if this is a touchy subject or if we should really talk about it, but I was there at halftime and your coach came over to the fan side and really, like, I wouldn't say lecture them, but like tell them the respect of what he's doing and what you guys are doing as a team. Like I thought that was great on his part. Like, yes, he's a new coach. So he doesn't, I don't really know how to explain this. Should we even talk about this, or?
I don't know. Well, me, when I play, I tune out fans. I don't listen to fans. So, like,
right.
Even when I'm on the sideline, I'm communicating to my team. I'm not worried about what the fans are saying or anything. So, like, even when I was in the game, I was just playing my game. I was listening to my coach, and I was listening to my teammates, but when people say stuff on the sideline, I don't, in one ear, out the other. I don't listen to what they're saying.
Right.
So, like, when he went over to talk to the
did
fans.
Did he tell you guys when he went back in the locker room?
When he went back in the locker room, he did tell us, but I was like, I saw him walking over, and I was like,
what's he doing?
I don't know why is he going over there? I didn't really care. I was like, we're playing good.
Yeah, you guys were, I mean, you went in the halftime tied.
And it, like, I wasn't going to let what a fan said or what the fans were doing affect how I play. I mean, that's kind of how I've always been. I was a wrestler, so I always heard, like, people in gyms, and I was a baseball player. I mean, people sit behind there and when you bat and just yap at you. So I've just kind of had that mentality, like, what people say to me when I'm playing don't really let it affect me.
Right.
So I don't even know what was said. I don't know who said what. I don't know.
I don't really know who it was, but some of the parents were kind of like annoyed with how you guys were just keeping the possession out back by your goal and not kicking it out. But I mean, it worked. Like, you guys were doing whatever you're doing correctly. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I just,
yes, you, okay. Like, I do understand, like, this program hasn't had the best of its, like, it hasn't been to the best of its ability the last, since I was a freshman, really.
Yeah.
Like, so these past 4 years, it's always been a rebuilding stage.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. And you gotta, like Joel Embiid says, trust the process. Yeah. With the Philadelphia 76ers, like, heck, they made the playoffs this past postseason for the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, if you trust and believe in what your coach is doing, and, like, you guys, like, believe that this is going to work and help us get wins. I mean, obviously it did. You guys got the victory on Wednesday. Like, I think these parents should also realize that and trust what the coach is doing. Like, I as soon as he was done and left, I applauded because I'm like, thank you, coach. Because some of these fans, and I mean no disrespect at all, but just trust what they're doing, really. Like, your kid is playing, like, enjoy that your kid's playing collegiate sports,
yeah,
for crying out loud. Like, some kids don't have that opportunity. Like, I don't know. I feel like we'll leave it at that. And
I know it wasn't just me who was like, what is coach doing? Because, like, we were in the locker room and we're just like, I mean, coach usually goes and he talks to our assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have David now and HZ. I don't know, yep, how many people know him. He used to be the keeper here 2 years ago as a senior year. He's helping our keepers right now. And they usually, like, talk with the, like, what they see throughout the game. And
yeah,
we saw him go over there and we're like, what is he doing? We're like, not even worried about it. We just went in, sat down. We were all like, still pumped. We're like, we're still in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
And I mean, we came out of halftime. We didn't score right away in the second half. Obviously, it was 0-0 going into that overtime, but we also held them to no goals. So
yeah,
right there, we were all pumped. And I mean, we had an overtime loss already this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little nervous going into overtime because
it was conference. Like,
yeah, I mean, we had an overtime loss against Defiance last year. That was a real heartbreaker. And then this year we had an overtime loss. So, like, I've been here for 2 years and we've already had two overtime losses. So, like,
yeah,
I was a little anxious, a little nervous. But, I mean, we went out there. Kyger had a beautiful shot. When he hit that, I was like, oh, that's going in. And then hit the crossbar and I was like, oh, no. But, I mean, Bishop, what's his last name?
Williamson.
Bishop, I just call him Bishop. Yeah, Bishop Williamson was crashing backside like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Ball falls right to him, hits him in the chest. He settles it, brings it down, kicks it. Keeper got his hand on it, but just put it right in the side netting. As soon as I saw it hit the netting, I looked over at the sideline ref,
yeah,
the AR, and I was like, he didn't have his flag up for offsides. And then I saw the center ref, the main ref, go like this, cut the time, blow his whistle. And I sprinted. Oh, I was like,
nice. Well, I was there when Pat had that, and I was talking, yeah, to him earlier.
It where I was, it looked like he was definitely onside.
Yeah. Well, he was telling me that your coach Elver was watching film earlier, and that he clearly saw Pat was not offside.
Yeah, I mean, it was off a free kick, and I mean, I watched Eric's approach and hit the ball, and it just looked like Pat left. Like, did what he was supposed to. I mean, got away from his mark and just wide open and put it in. So
yeah,
but I mean, it would have been a more bummer if we had won out and didn't score that OT,
yeah,
goal.
Yeah.
But I mean, it still turned out, came out our way. So
yeah, and
can't complain much.
No, nope. You guys got the victory, and I'm very happy for you guys. So I'll read what exactly happened here. So freshman Bishop Williamson from West Liberty. I my uncle lives there. So, go Tigers. He collected Jacob Kyger's rocket off the crossbar and deposited into the back of the net for his first collegiate goal just over 2 minutes into overtime, propelling Bluffton to its first HCAC victory of the season on Wednesday. The Beavers improved to 2-11 overall and 1-3 in the HCAC, while Earlham fell to 2-9 and 1-3 in the HCAC. Trailing 1-0 midway through the first period, a Quaker foul gave freshman sensation Dalton Tanner a penalty kick, which he cashed in for his team-best fifth goal of the season. That 1-1 score held through 90 minutes of regulation, sending the match into overtime, where Williamson finished at just 2 minutes and 22 seconds into the extra session. The visitors ended the match with a 17-12 edge in shots, including 10-5 on frame. Earlham also racked up 6 more fouls, 17-11, and 1 more corner kick, 4-3, than the Beavers. Kiger and Tanner combined for 9 of Bluffton's shots, while freshman keeper Hunter Fleck got down and dirty with 9 saves for his first victory between the pipes. The Beavers handed Coach Elvert his first HCAC win at the helm as Bluffton broke through with a 1-goal decision on the good side of the ledger. Bluffton returns to the pitch on Saturday, October 13th, tomorrow, when the Beavers head to Hanover College for a 3:30 kickoff against the Panthers. So not only does the women have a game tomorrow against Hanover, so doesn't the boys. Doubleheader there in Hanover.
Coach also told us that it was our first home conference win since 2014, I believe.
Really? That is very interesting. Speaking of Coach Elvert, here is the interview I had with him earlier today.
Wednesday, you guys had a home game, got the victory. How does it feel to finally get that first conference win and the second one on the year?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing about that win wasn't about it being conference or being the second win on the year. It was finally getting through with a home win. You know, that was the first home win since 2015 or 16, and that was the first home conference win since 2014. So for us to kind of break through that barrier of winning at home, that was the most important thing for us, and being able to, you know, protect the dam a little bit, that's been one of our goals this year. Mm-hmm. It's a special feeling winning at home.
Yeah, I like your guys' saying, log by log, protect the dam, build mm-hmm. the dam. I really like that. That's nice. So this Saturday, tomorrow, you guys have a tough one at Hanover. What would be some key things for the team to go out and beat the top dog in the conference?
Yeah, Hanover just had a huge 2-1 overtime win last night against Rose, who's usually at the top. And we played Rose first game of the year for conference, and you know, we had a plan, and we didn't apply that plan or execute that plan, mm-hmm. which resulted in a rough game. You know, we'll have the same type of plan for Hanover tomorrow, and hopefully riding some momentum off a win in a couple tight games, we'll be able to apply that a little bit better and compete and, you know, see what the outcome of the match is.
So we have about a week and a half, 2 weeks left of the season. How has everything been, honestly? It's your first season as head coach. How's everything been?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't be more excited to come back and take over this program and the opportunity to build a program from the ground up. You know, it's a rare opportunity, a special opportunity, especially at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, I wish we could have had more than 2 wins up to this point in time. But at the end of the day, you know, kind of our bare minimum goals were to, you know, double the win total from last year, mm-hmm. which would be 2 wins.
Yep.
And also get that first home conference win in almost 4 years. Those are the 2 main goals, and being able to cross both of those off with 1 result, that was huge. Oh, yeah. And at the same time, you know, it allows others to see that the change is happening, progress is happening, and now it's just finishing the season strong and seeing what happens.
Thank you, Coach, and I appreciate the time that you gave me to come in and talk to you. Well, not only are the men at Hanover with the women, they will be in action next Wednesday away at Mount St. Joseph. That is actually a 7:00 game. Wow.
Under the lights.
There you go. So you guys have a night game next Wednesday, and then you'll be home for your final 2 home games next Saturday against Transy, and then the following Wednesday, October 24th, against Manchester. I would say it's your senior day, but
we have no seniors.
You guys have no seniors, so that's a really big plus for you guys, because
we have everyone coming back.
Yeah, everyone's coming back next year. You'll have new recruits in, and I feel like you guys, you're 2-11 now. I feel like you guys could add at least 4, 5, 6 more wins next season.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You'll have Coach Elvert back, unless something miraculously happens and he leaves, which I don't think that'll happen. Everybody's coming back, so you'll all know the system by then, and then the new recruits, just bringing them in and getting them ready. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what next year brings. Unfortunately, I won't be here since this is my senior year, but I'm making sure I'll keep tabs on you, man.
Thanks, Ty.
No problem, buddy. So moving on from men's soccer, we're going to hit the court with volleyball. Our volleyball team went up to that other purple school as they swept the Yellow Jackets in three series. Bluffton was pushed into each set, but the Beavers down rival Defiance College 3-0 on Wednesday. The visitors improved to 12-10 overall and a perfect 4-0 in the HCAC, while Defiance fell to 3-16 and 1-4 in the conference. After a 25-19 victory in the Lidlifter, Bluffton dug a 12-4 hole in the second set before coming out of its shell. A 10-2 spurt that featured 7 straight Abby Rohrbach serves evened the score at 14. 3 straight serves from Courtney Zimpfer gave the Beavers the lead for good as Bluffton took the second set 25-23. The separation never exceeded 3 points in the clincher, with Bluffton posting a second straight 25-23 victory. Senior Bethany Martini continued to impress, knocking down a match-high 18 kills on 40 swings. Fellow outside Jessica Lavelle added a dozen counters for the victors, hitting a 364 with just 4 errors. Senior Jesse Gibson added 8 putaways with just 1 error for a 350 hitting percentage. Senior ringmaster Aaron Weisgarber chipped in 11 kills to go along with her 35 assists and 4 digs. Freshman libero Brooke Clement picked up a match-high 27 digs in just 3 sets. Senior defensive specialists Zimpfer and Casey Clark tallied 10 and 7 digs respectively. Bluffton will be back in the Sommer Center for homecoming on Sunday, October 14th at 3 p.m. when Transylvania comes to town. Make sure you guys come out and support your Beavers on the hardwood. So before we dive in with my interview with Coach Yarnell, I mean, this volleyball team's continuing impressing me, man. Yeah. Like, as we mentioned on Monday, they started off a little shaky. They started 3-7 midway through September, and I really didn't think they were gonna the high expectations were there. I know preseason they had Bluffton for the HCAC third in the conference. Right now we're sitting atop of it, undefeated in the conference, and we bring in Transy on Sunday, who is gonna be a good matchup. I mean, they're 3-1 in the HCAC. They're 9-9 overall. Transy is. And I'm really looking forward to see what Bluffton does on Sunday. And obviously, with that competition that they scheduled in their non-conference games, it helped.
Yeah, it's definitely paying off. I watched a little bit of the live feed yesterday after our game. Mm-hmm. When I was back in my room, I was doing a little bit of homework. I was doing something while I was watching.
Yesterday? Wednesday?
Yeah, sorry. Long week.
Okay.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I was watching it, and it was the third set, and I looked up, and we were down, and I was like, getting a little antsy, a little nervous. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want them to win, obviously, support all of our teams. And then I looked down, and I looked back up a couple minutes later, and we're up, and I was like, okay. And then it was just going back and forth, back and forth, and I was like, please just pull this one out. I mean, the last one I looked up, because I got in the room, like, Pat had it on. He had it on the TV.
Yeah.
He, like, plugged in his laptop, and I don't know. I don't technology very well.
You just never mind.
It was like an HDMI cord or something. Yeah. And he was watching it. I got in right when they won that second set, and then on and off, back and forth. And I was actually getting a little nervous. I was like, I'm not even playing. I'm getting nervous. And then they pulled it out, and I was like,
there we go.
Give him a little round of applause in my room.
So yeah, I mean, they have been playing really well. Yes, they dropped a game on Saturday to Hope, but I mean, Hope was nationally ranked.
Yeah, in number 18.
Yeah.
I do believe.
Heading into that game last Saturday, Hope was ranked 18th in the nation in Division 3. So, I mean, again, that's another tough non-conference opponent that they had to play. Yes, they got swept 3-0 last Saturday, but other than that last third and final set, they hung in there. I mean, they lost 25-22 against Hope in that first set, 25-18 in the second, and then got blown out of the water 25-12. But what else do you expect?
I mean, top 18
that's
team.
Yeah, I mean, top, that's nothing disrespectful to the volleyball team, yeah. But they went up against a very tough non-conference opponent, and that helped them. And I just really want to applaud Coach Darnell and whoever helps him with the scheduling, because they do a freaking fantastic job in scheduling non-conference opponents, because it really gets this team ready for conference play. Like, because our volleyball teams in the conference are very tough. And the one thing that's really surprised me this year is that where Hanover's sitting, Hanover's now 1-3 in the conference, 9-11 overall. And they
won it last year.
I think they won the whole thing last year. So if Hanover's out of the picture, Bluffton may have a shot to win the conference again. It would be what? 5 conference victories out of the last 6 seasons? Because they were looking for the 5-peat last year, and then Hanover knocked them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, get hopes up, but I mean, that's a very good possibility of what could happen with a decent amount of games left.
I think 5.
Yeah, they got 5 games left. Mm-hmm. They have Transylvania at home Sunday, and then their last home game won't be until October 24th when Manchester rolls into town. That'll be a 7 o'clock start on that Wednesday in, what, 2 weeks? Yeah, in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm very amped to see how the rest of the season, these next 2.5 weeks, plays out for the volleyball team. So, before we move into football, here is the interview that I had with Coach Darnell.
Dating back from September 14th, the team is 10-3 and 4-0 in conference play. What has led to this big run and this great conference record?
I think some of it involves we played some really tough teams early on that really pushed us, made us be more efficient, saw some bigger blocking teams, and really just pushes the envelope a little bit that we have to be sharp, and there's little room for error. And so, you know, maybe some of the teams we're playing now aren't quite as big or sharp, but the schedule definitely helps us later in the year. So that's by design. And so far we've been able to escape some injuries and play really well and have some of the tougher teams in the conference at home. And this Sunday will be another big one.
Yeah, so you, speaking of this Sunday, you guys wrap up homecoming week here at Bluffton with a game against Transylvania. What would be some key things to look out for heading into the game with the number 3 team in the HCAC?
Well, I think Transylvania, last year we played them and we lost in 4 at their place. Their setter is very similar to our setter in terms of being able to attack and run a diverse and pretty sophisticated offense. She was actually, their setter was actually the player of the year in the league last year. Their sophomore middle was the freshman of the year last year in the league as well. And then they have a big right side hitter that is one of the better hitters in the conference. And so we mirror ourselves in a lot of ways by personnel. So it should be a really competitive match.
All right, last one. So you guys traveled to Defiance on Wednesday and came out with the sweep, but it wasn't easy. Talk a little on how you guys kept the team's composure and got them through the fight in the 3 sets.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. In set 1, we led for a good amount of time, and they made runs and came at us. And one thing I think of really good teams are able to do is play, kind of have a good homeostatic level, right? They stay pretty neutral, and they don't get too high during the great moments, and they don't get too low when things aren't going well. So I thought we did a really nice job in the set 1. They came out in set 2, and I think I checked the score, and we were down 9 points at 12-3, and made a change, and we just kept grinding, and they stayed pretty relaxed and knew at some point we were going to get some of those points back, and came back and won 25-23. And then the last set was some of the same, where we led and then had to hold on late. So always good when you can win conference matches on the road, for sure, and especially against Defiance, who I believe Bill Hannafeld told me we've now won 8 in a row against, and 14 of the last 16. So good stuff by the Beavers.
So I want to thank Coach Yarnell and again to all the coaches for taking time, a little bit of time out of their day, let me come in and chat with them on how their season's going, what's coming up, how the games that they've had earlier this week on Wednesday, how that went, and then what's coming up this weekend. So last but not least, like I mentioned before the Yarnell interview, that we will discuss football. And it's homecoming, if you guys haven't noticed. It's homecoming week here at good old Bluffton U. Last night, there was the bubble soccer event, and the winners actually got, I think, was it a $50
gift card to Luke's.
Now, if I wish I knew how to play soccer, because I definitely put a squad together.
I was going to, but I don't think
your coach would approve of that.
I didn't want to risk injury, but I know there's some guys on the team that I do believe played, but I've played it before. I played in high school with like people who didn't know how to play soccer, and it's more of who's going to run around and knock enough people over for someone to just take the ball
down the court.
Yeah, without getting ran over. I played it with some football players, so it was definitely fun.
I know the last couple of years that we've done this, people were getting rocked. Like, some of the football players were just trucking people.
Yeah, I watched it last year. I didn't play last year. Cusack was like, hard no. Like, we have a game.
Yeah.
Don't. But, I mean, Coach hasn't really said yes or no either way, but
I would assume he would think that you guys are smart enough not to do it. But I
definitely went and watched it last year. I watched some people get lit up and like slide halfway across the gym. My best friend in high school had those bubbles at the grad party.
Oh.
We didn't play soccer. We just, here's like a little bit of a hill.
Trucking people.
So we had one person.
Were you rolling down them?
No, we had one person running down the hill, one person running up the hill. And if you got leveled, then you had to pass off your bubble. So anyway, I went against his dad. I'm like practically part of their family. I was like, hey, I call his dad by his first name. I was like, hey, Matt, come here. He's like, what? I was like, get in the bubble. He's like, you versus me? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, I'm heavier than you. I was like, yeah, but I want to go up the hill. So I took the advantage where I could get underneath his bubble.
And here you go.
I definitely got him off the ground. But then my other friend came and he was like a bulldozer. He played soccer with us. He was a defender, just solid rock. Huge guy. He was a thrower on our track team.
Oh, wow.
And I was a little scared. He's like, we'll do it twice. I knocked him down the first time.
There you go.
And then the second time, he told me what's up. Like, I got off my feet, spun in a circle, hit the ground.
Oh, dang.
And that was fine. I mean, the bubble protected me, but
yeah,
I was like,
right.
Like, God, I was all disoriented. I was like, whoa.
What just happened? So anyways, moving on from the bubble soccer event. Tonight is the Fall Fest in Bob's Place, so make sure you guys go check that out. That starts at 9 o'clock tonight. They are still passing out free homecoming stuff. I got my t-shirt, Goals in the Dark. You got yours too, right?
Yes, I did.
I got my water bottle on Wednesday during Faculty Follies. Oh,
that was so fun.
That was,
I loved definitely the song at the end with...
Oh, with P. Bush and Gundy? Yeah, that's all I look forward to. I mean, no disrespect to the other faculty members. Like, their skits were phenomenal, but that's one of the things that I really look forward to, because P. Bush and Jeff Gundy kill it. And I'm very excited, though, because all of our WIT listeners, fans, whoever follows us and subscribes, Nicole took the video. Like, she filmed the entire thing. So we'll have a video of that hopefully sometime soon.
I didn't go last year, so I was like, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, they do funny skits, they do this and this. And then, like, I like the Smartest Man Alive. That one was funny.
Dr. Know-It-All.
Mm-hmm.
Marathana, my sophomore year, was a part of that. It was funny.
And then they called them up, and, like, I've never had either of them in a class. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't know what to expect. And then I've heard people play, like,
harmonica
before, and then he just went to town.
Yeah. I know.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. I know Kenny last year wanted to try to get Gundy and Perry Bush in here to do like a, what do they call it? I forget what it's called, but he wanted them to come in and like record like their songs just for the heck of it to put on the radio station. Cause we all thought that'd be the coolest thing ever. Like,
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they're listening to this, like, come on in. We want to record you guys. Like, you guys killed it. Anyways, trying to stay on topic here, or on the topic of football. Football is home this weekend. They won't be wrapping up homecoming week. That'll be the volleyball team in their game on Sunday. But the football team is home. 1:30 kickoff against Manchester. And I think that they have a decent shot of beating Manchester. Manchester is sitting at 2-2 in the conference. They are 2-4 overall. Bluffton is 1-3, 1-5 overall. But I do believe that we have a decent shot. The one thing really that Bluffton, if they do want to win this game, the one thing that they need to limit is the turnovers. Yeah. That really hurt them last week against Rose, because if it wasn't for those turnovers, I think we would have beat the Fighting Engineers last weekend. I mean, it was 23-14, so we lost by 9.
Even the
6 of those points came from a pick 6.
Yeah, and even 2 weeks ago, I remember they had a bunch of turnovers that weekend too.
I mean, like, this is no discredit to the team at all, but like, our last 3 games that we lost, we honestly should have won.
They've been really close too.
Yeah, we lost to Hanover 28-10. A mental lapse. Some of the plays didn't really work out. Turnovers killed them. It's not necessarily the plays. It's just like nothing was really working. Like the running game wasn't working. The passing game wasn't really working. So like, if that's not working, I mean, your defense really can't do it all.
Yeah.
But it's a new day. It's a new Saturday. Tomorrow, it's a new game. I'm really looking forward to seeing what we bring to the table tomorrow against Manchester. Again, it's homecoming day. There's going to be, I think there's 2 former players. I think one's a women's basketball player. Oh my goodness. I think the other is a men's basketball player. I'm not too sure on it, but they will be inducted as like the homecoming ceremony or whatever. Also during halftime will be the homecoming ceremony. The crown, the king, and queen. It's going to be a very busy day, a really great day, honestly. Tomorrow inside the White Salzman Stadium at Alumni Field, Florida and I will be bringing you play-by-play coverage. We'll probably start around 1:15, around there, or around 1:20 when we'll be on the air. So make sure you guys tune in to 96.1 The Wit. I mean, looking at the weather, it's going to be beautiful Saturday. Sunny, high of 55, a little cold, but great, great fall weather for football.
Sweater weather.
Oh, yeah. And then next weekend, Bluffton has a bye, so they will not have a game. And then in 2 weeks, Bluffton will pick back up at Anderson. That will be a 1:30 kickoff as well. So, yeah, I mean, I'm feeling really great about this weekend in athletics.
Sorry, I just yawned.
It's all right. It's been a long week. I get it.
Me too.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how the cross-country team does in their inter-regional rumble. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the ladies' golf team places in their championship game, or meet, I should say, over the next 2 days. Volleyball, both soccer teams, football. Am I missing anybody? No, I think that's it.
You got them all.
It's a great day to be a Beaver. And that wraps up this episode of The Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beave.